Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you've missed any past episodes of Live by Every Word and you want to go back and listen to a few of those, you can find the podcasts there at thetrumpet.com. Any place you like to get your podcasts, you can find us there. And that goes for all of the programming that's here on Trumpet Radio. If you've paid much attention to the movies over the last few years, you've noticed, I'm sure, that movies involving superheroes are very profitable. They're making a lot of money, and so those movies keep appearing. There's an interest that many people have in the idea of superheroes, strength, power, something that's outside the realm of what human beings can normally do. But there is a time coming very soon when Christ will return to this earth. And His first fruits, His people, will be given incredible power. And ultimately, God wants to give all of mankind incredible power, power far beyond whatever man can imagine in a movie. Did you know that man has the potential to be God? Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a God being? What kind of a power is that? What could a God do? Well, this is a future that is in store for all of mankind that chooses God's way. God's plan in creating mankind is to recreate Himself. He's building a family, and the Bible talks about that. All throughout the Bible, you see that God wants human beings to be born into His family, of course, in due season. He has a plan that He's working out, but that's the potential of mankind. And it's a potential that, when it's realized, brings great responsibility with it, of course, but also unbelievable power. Power that we can't even understand humanly. The Bible talks about that. It talks about the type of power you'll have. So today, let's take a look at what we'll be like when we're born of God. And this isn't a fantasy or some story that I'm trying to invent here. We're looking at scriptures in the Bible. That's what we're going to do. And see the type of power that God is going to give people when they are born of God. And they'll be gods at that point, sons of God. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course is free at thetrumpet.com, and it says this: those who are called of God, who receive His Spirit, and who grow and overcome spiritually, will be born of God when Christ returns. And so His first fruits will be born of God when Christ returns, and then there's a plan for the rest of mankind as well. But notice this here in Philippians 3. We're looking today at what it will be like to be a God being. It's a reality. What will it be like? Well, Philippians 3, notice starting in verse 20. And again, if you have a Bible, please get it out. Let's look at these passages together and maybe let our imaginations expand a little bit. Again, we're not making things up. We're looking at scriptures here, but it's amazing to think about the reality of the future that's ahead, our future in the God family. Philippians 3 and verse 20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ," verse 21, "who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." So our bodies are going to be changed. And we do have a vile body. Now that seems a little bit hard to hear, I guess, but we're human. That's the point. We don't live forever. You know, you can look back at movie stars from years ago. They were young one time, and now sometimes they're dead or they're old. And they don't look like they used to when they were younger. That happens to humans. We age, and that's a good process to go through. And, of course, we want to be as healthy as we can be. But we know this physical life is temporary. It doesn't last. So in that regard, the human body is vile. It has a lifespan, and then it ends. But that body is going to be changed. What's it going to be changed like? Well, it's going to look like Christ. Christ's body. And we'll look at some more details about that as we go today. But it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful change, that's for sure. When we have a spirit body, we won't get tired, we won't get hurt, we won't get old in the sense of aging. Our minds will be sharp and sharp and sharp. They will never get dull. And, of course, they'll be a lot sharper than what they are even at the, sharpest moments in our human life. The Correspondence Course says, when Jesus Christ returns to earth, the spirit-begotten children of God who have died through the ages, you can think back to many of the great people of the Bible that exhibited a lot of faith in their lives, it says they will be resurrected to spirit life by the Spirit of God. And those still alive will be instantly changed into spirit beings. At that moment, they will be born again. So a lot of people talk about being born again. Well, being born again means being born as an actual spirit, a God being. They will be born again, it says, this time as members of God's own family. And God's own offspring will then have eternal life inherent within themselves, just like Jesus Christ, their elder brother. Life inherent, that means you don't die. You keep living. You don't have to eat food, drink water, breathe air, sleep. All of those things we do as humans will live forever. Think about how much we can accomplish when we have unlimited power, but also unlimited amount of time. Although our lives are so measured by time today, it's hard to think differently than that. But God lives forever. So he's not bound by time, and we won't be either. Notice John 3 and verse 8. Here Christ is describing what it's like to be a spirit being, to be a God being. He says, the wind blows where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Well, that means the Spirit's invisible to human eyes. It's invisible. Is that a power that people like to dream about in movies, I guess? Invisibility? Sure. People have talked about that over the years, being invisible or an invisibility cloak or all these different ideas. Well, spirit beings are invisible to human eyes, unless they choose to manifest themselves. Spirit beings are invisible to human eyes. Notice this in Luke 24. Here's an example of Christ when he was resurrected and glorified, using the ability to appear, and it startled his disciples, as we'll see. Notice Luke 24, verses 36 and 37. It says, and as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Well, that would be scary, wouldn't it? You're having a conversation with a group and all of a sudden somebody's there that wasn't there just a split second ago. It scared them, and because Christ had the ability to appear. He was invisible to their eyes until he decided to be visible. Now, again, we're talking about Christ after he was resurrected, just to be clear. When he was a human being, he was human flesh and blood like we are. But when he was resurrected, he was spirit. He was God. And so he was invisible, if he chose to be, to human eyes, and then he would appear. That's a power that God has, that a God being has. How about another power? How about super speed? You remember the show The Flash? I guess that was a comic book, and then there was some movies about it or something. Very fast individual, so fast you could barely see them. The Flash. Superman was like that, right? He could fly super fast. Again, all fictitious characters, of course, but man's intrigued with these ideas. Super speed. Well, there is super speed. Christ showed it when he was resurrected. Speed like we don't even understand. We can't even calculate it. We see this over in John 20. John 20, notice verses 17, and then we'll look at verse 19 as well. Verse 17 says, Jesus said unto her, this is after he's resurrected now, he says, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And so a lot to look at in this scripture, the fact that God the Father is our Father, just like he's Christ's Father, very comforting, shows that God does have a family. But he said he had to ascend to him. He had to go to the third heaven, where God the Father is. Then notice verse 19. Then the same day, the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. So what we're gathering from this is super speed, the glorified Christ, spirit being, a God being, same type of power that we're going to have as God beings. The Course says, earlier on the day after his resurrection from the dead, Christ would not let one of his disciples touch him because he had not yet ascended to his Father's throne in heaven. But later that same day, Christ allowed his disciples to touch him. This clearly shows that Christ traveled to heaven and returned to earth on the same day. It's unbelievable for us humanly. We can't travel that quickly. We don't even understand how that would occur. I mean, what's the fastest you've ever traveled in something? Airplane, I suppose. But that's nothing compared to this type of speed. You know, in an airplane, you can travel across the United States in, what is it, 6 hours, 5 hours, something like that, depending. Of course, there's time zone changes and all of that. But we can travel very quickly today, a lot more quickly than they used to be able to travel, of course. But nothing like this. And the Course says, truth is stranger than fiction, goes the old saying. Any science fiction thriller you could ever read or see pales into nothingness compared to the marvelous, exciting truth about your awesome potential as revealed in the Bible. Look at the speed that Christ traveled with. He was on this earth. He went to his Father's throne, and he returned on the same day. What kind of speed is that? Think about if you had speed like that. You could live anywhere you want on this earth, even, and work anywhere else. You know, we live where we work, roughly, right? Because we have to commute usually daily, unless people work from home or something. But if we have to go to an office, we've got to be close to it. Well, you wouldn't have to do that with this type of speed. You could live in Jerusalem and go to work in New York and go back home and show up for work and say, oh, I forgot something at home. I'll be right back and go get it and come back. It's the type of speed we don't even understand. But again, when that type of power is available, the earth doesn't seem as big, does it? The universe doesn't seem as big, does it? Because we can move. We can get around quickly. This is the type of speed that God has. And it's being offered to us as well. Of course, as we looked at, God beings never die. Notice this in Luke 20. Luke 20 and verse 35. It says, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, we're talking about after this life, it says, and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. So Christ is explaining what it's like to be a spirit being here. Verse 36 says, neither can they die anymore. Don't die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. He's talking about in terms of having this life inherent. And are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. So there'll be more power than the angels. But in the sense of having life inherent, the angels don't die either. So we'll live forever. Everyone has been touched by death on some level. You know somebody that's died, right? And that can be a hard thing. But once a person's resurrected and is a God being, once they're born of God, they don't die anymore. There's no more death. There's no more parting. There is no more goodbyes. There's eternal life. There's eternal life. God's offering that to his people, and he's ultimately offering that to all of mankind. There will be life, and life that doesn't end. Notice also, very specifically, Christ talking about here is what he looks like in his glorified state. And remember, we're going to look like this, very similar. Revelation 1, verses 13 through 16. This talks about the glorified Christ. It says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Have you ever seen somebody's eyes that are really striking and remarkable? Well, we've not seen anything like this. Eyes like a flame of fire. Verse 15, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. You know, we've probably all heard a waterfall before, or, you know, Niagara Falls, something really powerful like that. It's like thunder almost. It's such an amazing sound. Well, his voice sounds like that. What kind of power is there in a voice like that? Verse 16, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. The sun is so bright, we can't look at it. We shouldn't look at it. You know, we know where it is, roughly, but we don't sit there and look at it because it's too bright. It would hurt our eyes. Well, that's what Christ's countenance is like. That's how he appears. It's like the sun shines in its strength. You know, so when Christ walks into a room, if we can think of it in those terms, it lights up, right? I mean, to say the least, his face is like the sun. And what I find so remarkable about this account is that with his face shining like the sun, his eyes still appear like flames of fire. Now, how do you see flames of fire set against the sun? I don't know. These eyes must be something. It must be a type of fire. Maybe the flames are blue or something. I don't know. But you can see it. It's offset. And humanly, we couldn't make that distinction between a flame of fire and the sun shining. It's all too bright. It would just overwhelm us. This is what Christ looks like. And we are going to look the same. Remember, we read that early on in this program. Our bodies are going to be changed. These vile human bodies, which is what they are, we read that in Philippians 3, they're going to be changed. And they're going to be like Christ's body. That's what they're going to be like. They're going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Christ was born a human like we are. He was God before that, of course, but he gave that up to come to this earth and to be a perfect sacrifice for mankind, for the sins of mankind. He did it perfectly, and then he was killed and resurrected and glorified. So he's been a human being, but now he's a glorified. He's a God being. We're following that same path. We're following that same path, this type of glory, this type of power. People are very intrigued by those ideas. That's why the superhero idea is something that's been popular over the years. But that's nothing. And even that's, you know, just man's imagination. But this is the reality of God we're talking about. But it's real. And it's the power that's being offered to you and me. The Correspondence Course says the glory that spirit-begotten children of God are to receive at the resurrection will be so great it will make them shine as the brilliant stars of the heavens, like the sun at full strength. But this is only a part of what God has in store for his spirit-born members of his family. Let's notice, it says, what other wonderful characteristics they, as God's children, will possess. And so now we're going to look at the greatest of these powers. And you find them in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, these are known as the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. Notice verses 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Have you thought about those fruits of the Spirit as being even greater than the power we just read through? That we just read about, the being, you know, shining like the sun, having the ability to travel at rates of speed we don't even understand, eternal life. Those are fantastic powers and essential for operating in the God realm and in the spirit realm. But what if you had powers like that and yet you didn't have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance? What would you be? Well, you would be like Satan is. Now, Satan's not God. He's an angel, a fallen angel. But still, he had incredible power. God created him perfectly. He had superpower, but he doesn't have this type of attitude. He's not happy. And so the power that he has been used for horrible means. It's been used for destruction. And we see his attitudes manifested in people in this earth and all the problems that result from that. Wars, violence, hatred. See, the great powers that really intrigue us, and they should, they're amazing powers, without God's Holy Spirit and that type of thinking and the character of God, those powers are of no use. What would you do with eternal life if you were angry all the time? That would be torturous. That would be like being in prison forever. To live forever, but to always be angry or be upset or not be able to get along and have wars constantly, that wouldn't be much of a life. It would be terrible. And you can see why in God's wisdom and in his mercy, he gives us a limited amount of time on this earth to see if we'll use these amazing powers that he wants to give us, to see if we'll use them correctly. Because for those who wouldn't use them correctly, mercifully, he allows them to die and they have no future beyond that. That's more merciful than living forever and being full of bitterness and anger and hatred. So when we look at these amazing powers that God wants to give us, we need to think a lot about the character of God and developing that. Our bodies aren't going to become glorified in this physical life. Now, we want to take care of ourselves, of course, but we're in the human level in this life. But our character can become like God's character today, and it should. And we need to use the Spirit of God for that. The Course says the character of both God the Father and Christ the Son is that of spiritual holiness, righteousness, and absolute perfection. That character, as we have just seen there reading through Galatians 5, can be summed up in the one word love, defined as an outflowing, loving concern for others. It is the way of giving, serving, helping, sharing, not the way of get. See, if you had all of these powers and you had eternal life, what would you do with it? The only thing really to do with it would be to help others, wouldn't it? What's the value of having all of that if you don't have someone to share it with? If you were by yourself and you just lived forever and you could zoom around wherever you wanted to go and you had great power, but you were by yourself, well, what good would that be? So, of course, God and the Word wanted a family. They wanted to expand their way of life and use their power to create family, create other beings that could develop the character of God. It says God's inherent nature is a way of peace, justice, mercy, happiness, and joy radiating outward towards those he created. He is the embodiment of perfect, holy, and righteous character. And since God possesses perfect character, he has determined that he will not go contrary to the perfect, holy, spiritual law he set in living, active, inexorable motion to cause and produce all good. God has so set his will that he cannot sin or transgress his law. And that's the type of character that we need to be developing. We can't do it with human effort, of course. We have to submit to God. That's our part in it. But we need the power of God's Holy Spirit. The power of God's Holy Spirit. That in us, and if we're cooperating and letting God work through us and with us, he can develop his character in us. That power. And once a person has that type of character, well, as they say, what, the sky's the limit, I guess. But it's not the sky's the limit. There is no limit to what good a person could do when they have that type of power with that type of character, with God's character. Godly character and godly power, they go hand in hand. We will be born of God. We will have incredible power, but the character needed to use that power correctly, to even enjoy that power, we're developing it right now. It wouldn't be very enjoyable to have all that power and be angry and bitter and not know what to do with it. So even though we don't have those incredible powers yet in this life, now is the time to be building the most important part of the way God is, and that is the character of God. And then when that character is built and developed, then God can give us all the power of the universe and we'll use it in the right way. It's worth thinking about what we will do with that power, because we'll have it and he'll give it to us in the not too distant future. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.